the record button.
Oh, mine just went right now.
Right now.
I will share screen.
You go full screen. And don't be afraid to go big, Jeff.
I'm not going. I'm going to go big.
Or go home, one or the other.
Welcome to Everyone Racers,
a show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture.
It doesn't matter what kind of limit champ or lucky track dog league you run.
SCCA or NASA, we won't discriminate.
As long as you drive it hard and built it yourself.
Join us each week for tech discussions, tips,
tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur endurance racing.
And whether it's on the spot, hella sweet, or we're lucky enough, and Chrissy.
And I give you just the tip.
We're sure you'll giggle a little and learn even less.
Everyone report to the paddock.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
Sorry.
So good we did it twice.
You're Jeff. Right?
I'm Jeff. Sorry.
Oh, God. And I'm mental.
Thank you.
Oh, we're Everyone Racers.
That's terrible.
Oh, man.
Still playing in my headphones. Is it playing everywhere?
No, it's not. No, so it means it's playing in the background. Anyway, and welcome to our Around the Clock episode. It is episode 247, which obviously you're thinking about 24/7, right? Like the days, hours and days. But we're going to actually highlight the California Penal Code Part 1, Title 8, Chapter 9, Line 247, which is any person who is willfully and maliciously discharges a firearm at an occupied aircraft is guilty of a felony. And Part B, anyone who that discharges a firearm at a motor vehicle is punishable by imprisonment, but this does not count if it is abandoned. So now we've got our lesson in law.
So shooting cars, okay.
As long as they're abandoned.
Yes. Well, you're not immediately in prison. It's not imprisonment immediately. I didn't read any further than this. Get out your bingo card. You never know what you might get. Jeff, you are the reason why we are very late right now.
I had Chrissy goes to jail on my bingo card too. Damn it.
That'll be the okay.
We're recording on an alternate night when Jeff has Boy Scout stuff to do. So that's
Jeff
why
should
I'm
also
Jeff's
use
late.
The correct pronouns.
What?
I.
It isn't like you talking about yourself in the third
I
person.
I don't like third person.
We. Well, they, well, anyway, so I'm not completely at fault, but I am slightly at fault because it ran late today, but that's not what I did. What I did myself and my brother this weekend is pretty much finish the prep on the RX-7. We're very impressed by this. There was a lot of work to do to clearance the wheels and tires. It's still the meets that we have on this thing are way bigger than the meets that were run on the previous one. So a little bit of trim, a little bit of fender rolling, nothing wrong with that. But we finished the radio install. We finished the cool suit install. We did all the padding on the cage. We made sure like our bucket was there that holds our water. Jim tested the radios.
Testing them. What?
Tested the radios. And wow. Again, every time we play with this car, we find 37 like totally shitty wiring jobs that we constantly are fixing. So like something stops working and we just kind of yank and I'm like, Jim, did you do that connector? He's like, no, I didn't do that connector. Rip it apart, do a new connector. Ugh. Two things that are left over to do. And I gotta yell at Amazon for a little minute here. We lost the Zeus screw. Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Zeus? There's a D there.
Zeus.
It's not, I'm gonna stop you before you say screw though.
Well, that's what they're called on the internet. No, quarter turn fastener is the other term for it. So anyway,
they're called Zeus fasteners.
There you go, Zeus fastener. We lost a whole pile of them somewhere between Chris and Chrissy's house and my house. So I ordered them off Amazon.
Was it when the door fell off of your trailer?
Probably. I ordered them. They said they were going to come in. They said, never mind, they're not going to be there in time. So I ordered another set from another vendor.
Oh, no.
And now I have two sets.
I'm not surprised. And
have you misplaced one of those sets yet?
No. Okay. Actually, only one is coming in, but the other one's coming in tomorrow. So
those kind of things are totally okay to have extras, because when someone puts them on the floor and then kicks them, then yeah.
So that's it. That's what I did. The only thing left is theming. So tonight, I'm tapping it right here. Me and the here's my gear bag all apart. I got to unpacking and things, and here's the vinyl cutter, and we're gonna
looks like
to work.
Shit's
I gotta give
exploded.
You our vinyl order when we're done with the show.
Exploded yes. behind you. That's what it looks like.
Because I had to like rip my helmet out to test the cool shirt, because you have to plug in the cool shirt to see that it water flows through it, and then we had to like find my helmet to plug in the radio. Anyway, what are you all doing?
Yeah, what? Mental. What are you up to?
So I have finally finished digging out the pit of despair in my backyard. If you've been keeping up, I moved my hot tub and then found another hot tub. So I will open these pictures real quick.
Yo, dog.
And yo, dog. So I heard you liked hot tubs. The other thing I've actually been working on is, maybe a year, almost 2 years ago. I don't remember. The pandemic threw me off, but I bought a workbench and then had to scale it to fit in my garage. But I'm going to go to share screen right here. So this is my hot tub. It's going to take a second.
I'm very excited.
I'm going to edit this.
It's coming.
It's just coming.
Just hang on. It's coming. We're just going to wait till it comes around on the guitar here.
You know what?
Oh, there it is.
I know.
We need to hold. That's really pretty.
We need hold music is what we need.
Mental, you did a great job cleaning that out. You said it was all filled with like mud and palm.
The first foot I thought was all rocks. And then as I continued to get down to it, then it became bigger rocks and then trash and then PVC and then beer cans. And then, palm fronds and just whatever else they decided to throw in there.
It's a Las Vegas
hot tub.
Yeah, it's got like the little the Chase Lounge on the one side and everything. So
yeah,
the light
that's
will
a
go
nice built-in
in.
Hot tub.
Yeah, so
that's the hard part is like, okay,
so
what
now
is
you
wrong
have
with
two?
It? And where is the pump? And why did they fill it in the first place?
Yes,
exactly.
This is what's scary.
Pretty much. So that's phase two. But we already know that we don't like the concrete around there. So I'm going to smash that up and then start phase two of the dig. All around that, which happens after I relocate the gravel that is around it, because we're not big fans of that. The other thing is I've been working on this portable workbench, and this is going to take its damn time opening, because why would anything go smoothly on our podcast?
Tell us about it in the meantime.
So it was a 4x8 workbench that a carpenter had when he was working here, and he was getting ready to move to Charleston, and he wanted to sell it, but nobody had a vehicle big enough. So I brought it home with my RV. So it is now stained and it is now functional. And there's going to be a little, if Chrissy wants to kick in the Jeopardy pause music there. Na, 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 na. Or is it actually working?
Oh, there's a workbench.
Yeah. Right, there we
go. So the idea behind
this I'm glad you took pictures though, because this is the last time you're going to see the whole top of it.
Well, so the idea behind it is this picture here, which hopefully comes up as I double click on it, that it is modular. So that center's part lifts out, and then I will have platforms for that chop saw, the board planer, and the router. And I can use all of those. Or if I just need a giant wheeling surface that I can wheel outside and work on things, that's what that is going to be. So that's what I've been working on this week.
Wow, that is so productive.
And it finally having it done cleared out so much space in my garage. I can now walk in it and not have to open the door to get around certain things.
Oh, my garage is like, that is the direct opposite of what's going on in my house.
No way. Everybody's so surprised.
Yep.
Yep.
So it is as exciting as our week was, as exciting and productive as Jeff and I were on our Slack channel. You two had what may have been your worst week in years.
It was a day, really. We only had one bad day.
It was mechanically challenging.
Day
Very
and a half.
Bad, yeah. Not horrible, no good.
Yeah. Well, Saturday we worked on the boat. The boat was close to like actually being done, 2 year restoration, actually done. And so I went to Tire Rack in the morning to pick up the new 6 tires I needed for the Mazda, and also go to Costco in Delaware because their booze is super cheap and good. So you always got to stop there when you're in Delaware. So I did that while Chrissy did some things around here.
I buffed the whole boat.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. 2 rounds of buffing.
And
we put the decals on the engine and to finish that up, and just finishing.
We smiled at it. We said, wow, that this looks so good. We are so proud.
It looks amazing.
Do you have the picture that you posted on the Slack channel? Because you're not lying. It looked fantastic.
Amazing now because everything's done. I don't remember what we did there. I mean, that was pretty much the whole day was working on the boat and getting everything ready. So that's fine. And then, Sunday, we finished everything that we needed to do, basically. Let's go out on the boat to the lake. This is going to be great.
That's what we absolutely should do when you have no work to do.
We're like, we're going to take a whole day. We got up super early because we were like, okay, we want to make sure we get a slip in for our truck. When we get there.
Well, we dropped the Civic off at the storage garage, brought home the Mazda and the Corvette. Because the Corvette was potentially going to be a judge mobile. So we wanted to see if it worked because, you know, I haven't driven it in, you know, 8 months. So did that. Mazda, no problem. Civic, no problem. Everything fine. So get home, get the Mazda out of the garage, hook the trailer up to the boat, go to the lake, put the boat in. It's running great. The new propellers get the whole shot. Fantastic. The rev range is where we're supposed to be now.
He's like, this sounds great.
Whole shot in the whaler.
It's great when you're water skiing. So we're 2 miles
that
out,
does matter,
right where we're getting skiing. Right where we're getting to the no wake zone, and the boat, the RPMs start going down, and I'm not touching the throttle, and they keep going down a little more. And I say to Chrissy, I'm not doing that, and that's bad. And then just cuts off.
Dead.
The boat slows right down.
Cool.
Try to start it. It coughs, won't keep running. Makes a weird noise too, like a high-pitched whirring. I don't know, what is that? I take it off and I look around, and the belt, it's like a timing belt that spins the auxiliary air pump, which is part of the low pressure direct injection system. It's a 2-stroke, like one of the modern DFI 2-strokes. So that belt has stripped. It's like a stripped timing belt. Run without this.
He pulls this part.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a timing belt.
Okay. Yeah.
So I pull a big piece out. I was like, here, look at this. This is not good.
We're like, what can we make? Can we make a timing belt? Nope.
And it has.
We're sitting here on the water, on a boat.
Right. Yeah. 2 miles out.
It's too much. There's too much tension in it where it is. Like it's a lot of pressure. Like this thing runs at 80 PSI. So it needs teeth. So I have the motor cover off, the universal symbol of I am broken on a boat.
We get the tools out. We look at it and say, yep.
I say, nope, I am not fixing this. We're saying, well, we're going to, I saw the park rangers
called
the other way and they're coming back. And we're like, all right, park rangers are going to be, they're going to help
us. I start waving.
But in the meantime, these two other guys, these nice gentlemen in a bass boat go up and say like, yeah, you guys need a tow back? Yes, we do. Thank you very much. So I had rigged up the rope already. Here you go. Thank you, gentlemen. They towed us to 2 miles back to the ramp. I gave them all the cash I had saying thank you. He said you didn't want to. I said, no, you saved us. Please. This is well spent.
It's funny because they said their battery was going bad. Fortunately, they had another one. And then when we got to the dock, somebody else was like, oh yeah, we know about that. Like boat karma is such a thing. People either try to get more people and help them back because you never know if you're going to be that person or you are that person or were that person. So everybody
saved the lovely family that was out for their.
We did that before. Yeah. Yes. So we like boat karma.
So you always help out people with the boat because boat karma. So, okay. It's a belt that's broken. You know what? I guess I happen to have sitting here at the house, one of those belts because I had ordered it previously and not done it because I couldn't get the flywheel off the top of the motor because it was a really hard press fit and I didn't have the special tool. I said, fine. No problem.
Yeah. That so belt's got to be fine, right?
It's original to the motor. It's 05. It's fine. Totally fine. I had to make a puller tool because this flywheel is not coming off. So using this super thickest metal stock I have, I make this tool that bolts in with three bolts on the top of the thing that then bolts to my two jaw puller. And I had to use the impact on that. It bent the thickest metal I had, which is like quarter inch stock, but it popped it off. Replace the belt, put it all back together, go to start it. Still not working.
Yikes.
I'll finish the end of the story to get to the end of the story before it's not too long. Essentially, the air pump on this is a little air compressor. It's like a single cylinder. It's a little piston and rod and whatnot that runs off this thing that makes 80 PSI of air. So that's because the way the two-stroke direct injection works, it has to have the air pushing in to also get the fuel to go in and atomize properly, to not have it be at 10,000 or 10,000 PSI or something. So without that, it wasn't working. I eventually figured that out by taking the air thing apart, putting my finger on it. It's not working, but I had to then use the air compressor to jam 80 pounds of air into the hose that normally would come out of the compressor. It wasn't working. Eventually took the compressor off once you realized it wasn't working. You turn it by hand and it totally binds up. And then once you move past the belt. City, yeah, the that's what stripped the belt. Exactly. The belt. Yep. Took it all apart. The cylinder walls and the piston of the compressor part were hella destroyed. Like, so terrible.
Oh my. Gouged, Chrissy's showing that up. Picture right now.
Yeah. So then I said, well, okay, I'll order. And I can't even order a new one from Tohatsu. They don't make it anymore. So I had to find a used pump online. So I got that. It's on its way. And while putting the boat into the yard to say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore, guess what? The Suburban Starter decided to go.
So you pull it back that. In. Yep.
Yep. No. Diagnosed that for a while. Wasn't great. So eventually I changed that on Monday.
You skipped like 12 steps. You sent Chrissy underneath with a hammer.
It's already like 20
minutes. No, he was under with the hammer. Okay. I was the turny Ani person.
Well, anytime the starter doesn't work, you got to start by hitting it with a hammer.
Hit the solenoid. It's GM,
I'd see if it works. It didn't work. And I tried diagnosing it every other way. Nothing was clicking. But even when the next day I jumped the relay, still didn't work. Took the starter off, which is not that hard on these. And bench tested it, didn't work. So new starter in, truck runs great now, no problem. Also, it's for sale because I also bought the replacement for that truck on.
It Saturday. Heard, it heard us.
That's what happened. And I put this in our Slack channel. The Canyonero is mad because all of the other cars you have sold got to go live in rust-free places and spend their days hauling dogs around.
You don't know who's going to buy
it. Yeah, we don't know. Right.
I'm just saying it's not coming to me for its demise. You know, it's like, oh, like I'm the farm.
Wait a minute. Metal's not going to pick up Chris and Chrissy's scraps.
I'm the I'm not the this farm one. That Apparently. All of your dogs go to live on. I'm still enjoying the Mercedes.
Why don't you give some of the specs of the Canyonero so someone out there who might be listening to the podcast could email you and make an offer?
And well, we might do, I we say, while one... he's giving the specs, I have never regretted buying a car from Chris and Chrissy ever.
I do have one. There is one other team. There's a guy who's expressed interest. Just sent it to me by email, and I'm just talk to him tomorrow just to let him know it's still available. Anyway, 03 Yukon XL 2500. So it's got the 6 liter, it's got the 4L80E transmission that will never die. Its one is quadra steer, which is super cool if you've ever used it.
It is amazing.
And it really hasn't given us any problems. And even if it really breaks, it just becomes a regular straight axle. So like, it's fine. It's probably one of the nicest conditions. One of these you're still going to find absolutely. In use. Yeah. There is no rust on the rockers cause it's all been fluid filmed every year. The brake lines have all been replaced. The interior, I even put a new like seat cushion. Seat,
right? We did just a bunch of
leather
seats,
driver's seat. It's got a Apple CarPlay touchscreen stereo with a backup camera. Hummer H2 wheels with Falcon Wild Peaks that have lots of tread left on them. I just had valve cover gaskets done and the inside of the motor looked perfect. New Iridium spark plugs, new AC Delco wires, recent alternator.
Air like conditioning I could go blows on and cold?
On. Icy. Yeah. Every time. Keyless entry works. Everything works. And it's ready to go. Like I don't have any qualms about towing with it anywhere.
This is a bit of a rare bird, a quadris, because it took you a year to find a quadristeer 2500.
Yeah, 6 months at least.
It took a year to
Were we only looking at quadristeer?
No, I was looking for all of them, but the fact it was a quadristeer was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. I like this one because it was a one owner and a, clearly an old man by the Policeman's Benevolent Association sticker on the
back.
Which
is still on there.
Why would you take it off?
Yep. So it's been a great tow vehicle for 10 years. Two owner, 10 years. It's great. Someone else is going to want it, I'm sure.
Buyer on the hook, but feel free in case he sketches out to send an email to everyone.racers@gmail.com.
And I have beaten this horse, but I'm not done with it yet. I cannot emphasize how much maintenance goes into every one of their vehicles.
Well, we don't want to be like Jeff and stuck on the side of the road because of something stupid. Well,
I
and
speaking of
and speaking of being
here.
Stuck on the side of the road for something
oh,
stupid,
Chrissy, what you working on?
Didn't you have an issue?
That was me yesterday. Yep, that was me. Okay, well, I was with Chris through all those other things, and then yesterday I drove. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be adventurous. I'm going to drive the Corvette to work. And
we have a lot of new listeners. Please tell everyone what the
Corvette is. We were given or lent or something a 84 Corvette, not the good one. I don't know if there are good ones in 84, but anyway, a lot of work to the interior. So it's not the worst place to be, but it's still actually after sits in the sun all day, smells really pretty bad. But it's an 84. There's some things that are wrong. And one of them is the driver's window, which we'll get to, but also just gets really hot inside. So I make it to work. It's fine. It's fairly loud.
And you have what, a 45-minute hour?
Oh, heck no. No, it's 20 or less. I can make it in about 18.
You're a lot closer than you used to be.
I'm very much so. And okay. No traffic. So I really am, and I leave much, much earlier. So it's fine. It's difficult. The clutch is very heavy. It's a challenge to drive.
Doug Nash, 4+1.
Four plus three. I just don't use all of the pluses except for the one on the top. If I can get it to go that fast. So my drive to work was okay. And Chris can probably say it's not as bad as I feel like it is, but it is. It's not well, that it's
what it's else is in your stable. So you're a little, I don't want to say you're spoiled because you earned it.
Yeah.
You earned it, but
especially right now. Yes, I am absolutely spoiled. This is an older car that takes some finessing and I'm not very good at it. Like the burnout that I did in the garage. I did a burnout in the garage. So there's that. That was the other car too, wasn't it?
That was the Mazda. But
oh, crap. Anyway.
It's a big E400 wagon.
E400 wagon.
Very nice. And then the other car you take to work is an NSX. So this is a
This was a lot. And so I get to work and I'm like, okay, it was fine. It was kind of luggy or something. So I get I leave for work and I'm like, okay, I should probably get gas, but you know what? I just really want to just get home. Like I'm already over this. Like I was kind of white knuckled on the way there. What?
Part of the plan for you to take it to work was to go to Costco that's right next door and get gas because it's super
not
cheap.
Next door, but I was like, I just want to get home. And according to my very 80s gas dash, which is all electronic, there's no gauges. It's all little blocks and swoops and numbers that actually don't work. There's like the five or the eight, you know, like the digital number is right.
You have to punch the dash once in a while.
Oh, do you? I didn't do that. So anyway, it looked like there was a quarter tank of gas. So I was like, okay, I could probably make it home. So I'm like driving and I'm like, and the car's not doing well.
The car's breaking.
I that's exactly what I said.
That's a text. Series of texts I started getting.
Okay. So then instead of taking 422, because I'm like, I really don't want to be stuck on the side of the highway if this is not going to make it home. So take Ridge Pike, which is a parallel road. It's lights and it's slow. But I'm like, at least if I have to break down somewhere, I can break off in a parking lot rather than off the side of the highway, on the highway. So I make it probably another 2 miles maybe. And I'm just, it's just bucking. It's like, it just hates me. And so I pull off into a little tiny dermatology parking lot and I call Chris and I push it to a place that's like kind of off the road. And I sit and wait. I said, Chris, it's dead. So he's like, okay, well, I'm getting, and at this point I had not.
And at this point we have a broken truck.
Yeah.
Can't hook up to the trailer. So with no starter in it. And I have to get to Napa by 6 when they close to get the starter.
So, yep. So I say, okay, it's not.
Better hop on Scooty.
Right. It's dead.
Mercedes was there. Fortunately, it was great.
Right. So he gets in the car and starts coming towards me. And then I say, text him and say, you know, maybe it's out of gas.
You know what? Bring a can of gas. No reason why. Just bring it.
I was already halfway there.
Right.
And didn't have my wallet because it was still in the boat bag from the day before. I had to go to Chrissy, get her. Get the wallet, go get the gas can, go get the gas, put the gas in it, and
it turned on.
So basically you guys were cosplaying like you were me and Jeff.
Maybe so.
I have two things to say. One of them is just a comment and the other one is a very short story.
Okay.
First comment is check off Wakeman problems on your sheet. Happened to be Chris and Chrissy's problems this weekend.
Right. Yes.
I know I texted you and I didn't put this in when you're working on because I really wasn't working on it, but my wife hit some debris in the road and cut a CV boot. So it was at a mechanic friend's today because I'm preparing race cars and don't have time to do it. So she had to drive her C6 Corvette to...
Oh, right, yeah,
near your house in Reading today because she had to go to work for the first time all summer. And she drove my car and she was like, I hate this car. I'm not driving it. The seats are like, why are the seats so skinny? Why is it so zoomy? Why is
the
it so
Veloster?
This?
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So then she's
why is it so zoomy?
Yeah. She's like, this is just too much. I can't do this. So she says, I'll take the Corvette. The Corvette is her mother's C6.
Yay.
It's an automatic. I keep telling her, just take it whenever you want to. She gets home and she's like, I'm not so sure it's right. The RPMs just don't go over 2000. It gets to like 2000 and then it just shifts. Like it just keeps shifting. There's like, why have so many RPMs if you're never going to use it? I said, put the pedal down a little harder. It'll go over 2000 RPMs, I promise. She's like, no, definitely not. It never goes over 2000. So that was her Corvette story. She just doesn't go any faster.
Didn't strand her though. That's what I was worried. I was like, I was hoping for another strand.
But I'm going to tell her that your Corvette worked perfectly also. And it was a fueling issue. I'll say fueling issue.
It was, I'm admitting to the internet that it was a user issue. I inconvenienced Chris and it's the better answer. We are happy that it wasn't something worse. So, and I didn't
this whole thing up. Good. When we get home, after I drove it home and it drove fine, the driver's window will not go up. So I take the whole door apart. Oh. I hot wire the motor even. Nothing wrong. The wiring's
screws,
totally fine.
Right?
It's the GM 84 power window motor. So right now the window motor is barely held up, or the window is barely held up in the car. Like I have to gently close it to keep the rain out.
Well,
and I have a new one that's on order.
The problem
but
was
that when GM, it's $17.
But the problem was it was... You know, the car was 97 when I got in it yesterday afternoon after it baked in the car. And it has of course, it doesn't have any AC. It doesn't even have a fan. So I'm like, I am sweating. It was barely.
It just blows hot air.
No, you know what? I also turned everything off because I thought this was a car issue, like a vacuum issue, not a gas issue. I was like, well, let's turn everything off. If it's not running well, let's try to take the load away. And I did.
That's just a smart plan always.
Thank you.
Start shutting the AC crap off.
Making me feel a little bit
better.
The
window usually would go up. You had to kind of give it some help up and give it some help down, but it would always go up to this point. Now
GM.
It won't. Yeah. Can't get it up. Yeah. That's been a lot.
This was an exciting week.
Yeah, it was.
Of what you're working on, but let's move on to maybe something a little less exciting.
No.
She got it.
Yes, she did.
CEO Jim Farley wants to abolish the dealership experience.
Hell yeah, Jim.
Yep. And Steve DeSilva at Jalopnik gives us the highlights. In a recent conference, the Blue Oval CEO outlined his plans to migrate dealers into high-quality service centers. The goal, and he is very careful to use the word, is for electric vehicles to spin their own sub-brand untethered from the dealers. In a speech, Farley stated, "We've got to go non-negotiated price. We've got to go 100% online. There's no inventory, 100% remote pickup and delivery. The goal is to have dealers process a transaction initiated by the customer via the online service portal." Farley did say that existing dealerships will play a role in this transition, enabling Ford to leverage its physical presence to outperform startups like Tesla. The added benefit in his plan is to eliminate advertising, according to additional comments reported by Bloomberg. Ford does a lot of ad spending, but they didn't buy any ads for the Mach-E or the F-150 Lightning, and both of those are sold out. And they, Farley said, "I'm not convinced we need public advertising." So anyway, yes or no? Do we think dealers can survive as a, you know, Apple style customer service centers? And I having worked in car dealers before, say, yeah, this is better. Let's do that. And having just tried to buy a car for a while, including some dealers apparently don't want to sell me a car.
You know, no, but we had great experience at CarSense.
It's what?
Where did we look at the Escalade?
Oh, there's a place called the first Escalade was a place called CarVision. They were yeah. very nice, actually.
Yeah, they were
but
great.
The other places I've called, they're not really interested in selling me a car. So, but this the place we got this the Escalade we end up with getting, it's a Cadillac dealer in DC. They were very nice.
I also worked in car dealers. I wholeheartedly agree. My father, who spent his life in the car business until he retired, will deal with no one but CarMax because he can do it all online. And my dad hates technology.
Wow.
So I am full and prepared to embrace this model.
I will buy my next car from CarMax or Carvana. I had a great experience with Carvana. Sorry, Donnie, that it didn't work out for you, but love the experience. Put it online. Click, 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 and buy that car. I ain't going to a dealership.
Okay, moving on.
Looks good on you, though.
Tired of all this newfangled electric car talk? Well, in that case, we would like to welcome Mentals, co-workers, and Bruce to our podcast. Fear not, Luddites, I mean loyalist. The Mustang is going to keep its manual, at least for the next generation. Matthew Guy at The Truth About Cars fills us in on the seventh generation of the original pony car. An icon for the upcoming car featured a manual transmission icon, replaced the O in generation. It is also planning to retain the V8, at least early in its product cycle, along with at least one smaller engine choice. But do not be surprised if you to hear about a hybrid. As Matthew says, if talking heads are to be believed, wild speculation has placed an electric motor on that car's front axle, creating an all-wheel drive Stang. But he also mentioned we ain't holding our breath.
I would love that. Do it.
Do it.
In news literally as old as Mental and Me, did you know that Jeeps tip over?
Clutch, surprise. Clutch my off-road pearls.
Clutch my pearls. In several sources, our link is from the Autopian. The latest, did I say that right? He even told me how to say it. Autopian, the latest test from Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, that's IIHS, found that the small overlap test, that's headlight to headlight, in case you didn't know, the small overlap test in the Wrangler makes it fall on its side. Of course, there's no door airbags because it's removable doors, and it presents a slight injury hazard. But this is the third time the current JL Jeep Wrangler rolled during IHS small overlap crash testing, originally in 2020, and Jeep said, "Now hold a cotton picking minute. I think it's related to that thing that pushes it into the crash." So they, you know, the crash propulsion system. So the folks at Fiat Chrysler, Stellantis, whatever their name is, gave them a different attachment method to use, and the Wrangler rolled over again like an obedient dog that it is. So as a result, the Jeep engineers went back to the drawing board, made some structural modifications. Apparently these didn't work either. So the 2022 Jeep Wrangler received marginal rating from the IIHS on small overlap impact testing. Guess what, people? It's not new. In 60 Minutes did it in 1980, called it the most dangerous thing you could drive, which, you know, it was only because they had those outrigger things. Yeah, it's a little rigged. But yeah, narrow cars with big tires, high center of gravity, might roll over. Deal with it.
You started reading this and I was like, I'm sorry, is this an old article? Because nope, this is not news.
Yep.
No, so, and like every automotive outlet was like, oh my God. And I honestly thought, I'm like, is this an April Fool's joke?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Seriously. I'm like, scroll up. What's the date on it?
Hey man, you just wouldn't understand.
Where's your Jeep wave?
It's a Jeep thing. I mean, Jeep people know it. They put the thing on the back of the tire that says, if you can read this, flip me over.
Right? They admit it's going to happen.
Not a surprise and not going to affect sales at all. Why did the Stellantis
completely agreed.
Even try and fix it?
They should brag about it. Totally tippy. Yeah. Come get some. Yeah.
Tippy is your aunt after three margaritas. What else you got?
Well, we don't have necessarily news and notes, but this weekend, and we're going to talk about NJMP, we are debuting, and I'm going to show up and drive. These three good-looking people have worked really, really hard on our new race car that we bought from racingjunk.com.
Yeah.
Just a week ago, I was at Thunderhill, and some of our listeners had actually picked up a BMW 5 Series, and it's funny because their theme was boring BMW, and it actually wasn't that boring because they found a 5-speed with a cage. It was, and you could see why it was a legitimate, probably $500 car, but it was a great race car. And that's three sets of our listeners that have purchased race cars all from racingjunk.com. Yes, we're pushing this whole agenda thing here, but this is what we're talking about, is we really like racingjunk.com.
Did metals.
Yeah, I think my computer's trying to die. All right, yeah.
Well, that's all right.
We love Racing Junk.
Yeah, racingjunk.com. While you're trying to fix it, I'll just shout out here that not only do we have a great experience with the search engine, the person who posted the RX-7s did not have a paid subscription. They had the one picture ad, but there are plenty of people out there who want to grab that paid subscription and get the newsletter and start posting as many ads as you want with as many pictures as you want.
Great.
Cool.
Racingjunk.com. Tell them we sent you. Sign up for the newsletter.
Upcoming races!
Lemons is at NJMP. We are almost ready. 138
I cut a lot of final to cut.
Oh, yeah. 20 BMWs, which that's boring and it's a little high, but okay. All right. 8 Miatas, 9 Hondas, 3 Porsches, and 3 YouTubers. And I just don't care about them at all. People are like, hey, there's 3 YouTubers there. Here's my caring face.
We should mention Chris Fix came last year, broke his BMW immediately. He'd been building it for a year. Good job, Chris. But
should have got a BMW. That was just it's probably poor part choice. Of the problem. If only he listened to an endurance racing podcast.
It has to break or he doesn't have a show. It's not Chris's car works wrong. Well. Come on.
I should mention that eBay sponsored it because they also sponsor Lemons. But he made good friends with the Garage Heroes in Training podcast, so go listen to them. I actually like Rich Rebuilds, and he's supposed to be one of the people who are coming. He doesn't live anywhere near New Jersey, so I have no idea what he's right.
He's in Massachusetts. Yeah. And actually, now I'm a little excited about B is for Build. They're not quite out this way, but they're out towards West End, and they built the Lamborghini with a manual transmission for Hoopty Cross. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the B for Build guys are right. They're not in my normal watching, but I'm not against any of them. Come on out, people. Everybody racing. Prove it. Watch you break and prove that we know what we're doing and you don't. They come on our podcast and give us some listeners because you have millions of listeners and we have like hundreds.
We love our listeners. That's
we do.
Enough.
We do. Tell your friends.
Racing results! Lemons was also at High Plains in Denver. Overall, went to Turbo Encabulators in a 99 Miata. Class B was volatile, I think, Ram in an MR2, and God's Chosen Class was again run by Rusty Thunder in one of their Fieros.
It's totally Turbo Encabulator because that's an old YouTube video.
Sorry.
All right.
That's right. You did it right.
Org Choice went to an 04 Crossfire, which we've been waiting to see from Petrosexual Racing. Judge's Choice was CKT Racing in a boring BMW, but Heroic Fix was the gun barrel Cobras and a Toyota Starlet, and Screwed was Duck on a Leash and an 84 Porsche.
Some great team 84 names there.
Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
Great team names.
The regional Beating a Dead Horse Award was the CRV of Citroën Motorsports. Interesting. Finally, the IOE was Ski-Doo in a different Toyota Starlet, while Hal and Mean Meets Gasoline was Hangar 13 in a Viva Las Vegas themed Chevy Vega.
That's a good choice.
If you haven't been there, go to Jan Cole on Facebook. They had a pit vehicle that was a small piano and a bench.
Yep.
And he was Tom Webb was dressed as Liberace, and that's how he was rolling through the paddock. It was
fantastic.
Awesome.
I saw it. Yeah. Lucky Dog was running with the big dogs at the Pacific Raceways on Saturday. Evolution of Speed crushed it 9 laps over Arc Flash Racing and 14 laps ahead of Kothriak. K-O-3-A-K. Make something we can pronounce, morons. Sunday was a little closer. Finally Racing, that's the team name, took the win by 2 laps, while U-Boat Renworks, which we've talked about before, was able to hold off Evolution of Speed by 10 seconds to take the silver.
Finally, American Endurance Racing was at Summit Point. Now, Sunday had 944 Banger 3 laps over RSC Racing and 6 laps ahead of Drunken Squirrel Racing.
Good
Sunday,
team.
They were able to do it again, 5 laps ahead of Don't Panic and 10 laps over Busy Guys Racing.
That's great. We posted a lot of stuff and now we hear about it in...
I'm listening. Listener feedback! What?
I was letting you yell.
Listener feedback! I yelled at everything. I posted what you're working on when we were... I was taking the stickers when I was done with all my boat crap. I was sitting on the ground and I was like, well, I might as well take off the stickers on the car. So I posted a what you're working on as we prepped the Mazda, one of the Mazdas, and I was fighting with the vinyl sticker. I wasn't fighting. It was just annoying. Yeah, like scratch scrapey, off scrapey, the scrapey. Yeah. So I was asking what you're working on.
Yeah, I apologize. I posted like none of the work on the RX-7 because I was like busy and never picked up my phone.
Doing the work. Good on
yeah,
you.
Really. Andrew B was, quote, teaching my teammates why it's important to disengage the, quote, still functioning, or at least was, parking brake before heading out onto the track.
Yep.
Wah, wah.
Michael K mentioned a good solution to that was a zip tie the button on the parking brake. But you know, but then you can't use it for the trailer, which is that's really what I use the parking brake for the most.
You could snip it off.
Yeah, I guess. But Andrew just said he added a larger light. That's good. Maybe a siren buzzer. Michael also had just finished theming the Dustbuster for Gingerman. Now have to negotiate with the neighbor kids to rent their Power Wheels tank for the weekend.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Great. Now, Joseph Gay was at the GridLife Midwest Festival.
Oh,
nice. Bill F. of Garage Heroes is prepping our drivers for the race next weekend and prepping their Civic for the big reveal at NJMP next weekend.
We'll see.
All right. Multiple cars debuting at NJMP.
It's the same Civic. I think they have a new theme on it. And I was texting with Vicky back and forth today on some what does this do things. So it's getting there.
The yellow one, right? Mm-hmm. If it's still yellow, I mean, it might not be yellow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's your turn, Chris. I can read for you though, if you'd like.
Sorry. Scott H was filling in the airbag hole before I recover the dash. He's been keeping listeners up to date on his K-Swap Miata track car evolution. That's got to be fun. That's got to be fun.
K and a Mazda. Nice move.
Or Miata. Chris R was finally starting his Pinto wagon project.
David E was, quote, installing rebuild carbs on his teammate's 91 Zephyr. That's a Kawasaki motorcycle, because I still have plenty of time to race prep 2 cars for NJMP. And denial is an essential part of limits.
Well, I'm very glad to continue the tradition of me completely butchering screen names. On the Instagram,
he's a 928 owner down in Texas, runs in the Schrader group.
Oh, Ah, cool. Leper Mime, good to have you. Please don't give me your disease. Was dealing with a leaky power steering reservoir.
And, oh, well, there's a Hetmana 103 said, I have a station wagon disease. There's still room for something, right? By the way, if he's at the track, not only does he keep rolls of removable white and black vinyl because some people's numbers suck.
That's true.
That's nice. And he also has a quarter sprayer bottle of rapid tack remover. No excuse for having bad numbers. Wow. You're passionate.
Got a lot of sticker removal techniques. Most involved heat guns, but a new technique might be from IG, which was a Zippo lighter fluid. Okay.
Justin W. just said heat gun and or de-limony goof off, which I think he meant that like goo gone, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Brandon G says blow dryer. And I was like, I'm literally sitting in the 90 degree sun. So I wasn't struggling. It was just like scraping each. There was so many letters on there that I just had to scratch each one off by hand.
Yeah. You just got to sometimes pick at it. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a lot.
Justin W. linked plastic razor blades. Eric M. linked an eraser attachment for your drill, which I recently used trying to get the giant decals off of the Tohatsu engine cowl. It works. It wasn't as amazing I thought, but it does get the stuff off.
The razor blade worked better.
Yeah,
we ended up going with the razor.
With my RV, I bought the drill eraser attachment and it works, but yeah, whoever their cinematographer is clearly knows how to set up their demo for success, because
it doesn't work on baked mm-hmm. stickers that
say like an RV that lives in the sun or an engine that is 14 years old.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sim Racing Report.
Well, yes.
Hey, we went to NJMP on iRacing to prep for next week. I really wanted to go because it's a great way to prep for the race, to actually run the race you're going to run in iRacing. I was at Home Depot picking up theming supplies because, you know, putting a starter in a truck and rescuing a Corvette put me a little bit behind on that day's work. So I didn't get to go, but Dave won the first one. Tyler won the second. Hope everyone was there. Got a nice little refresher on the track. Who's actually going racing?
I wanted to be there, but I was just getting home from a 24-hour vacation to Great Wolf Lodge, where many excellent water slides. It was too good.
Those who don't recognize that Bill and Ted reference, know who always gets a Bill and Ted reference?
I don't think she does. No, pretty sure she doesn't. Nice try, though.
Let's just say hi to Chrissy's mom and say thank you in advance.
She's very busy.
For the cooking of the snackies, the baked goods.
She's working on them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just think you're going to come wandering over to the Three Pedal Mafia. Oh, I'm a YouTuber. I heard about these Chrissy's mom's cookies. No. You better show some respect.
First, you must pass a quest and a series of challenges.
What is our favorite brake pad?
a riddle.
That would be a good start. Although then if I say that somebody brought me, oh, these people brought me something, I gave them a cookie. And she was like, why don't you bring anything for me? And I was like, if you have something for my mom, huge bonus points, huge.
And I do not mean this to be inappropriate, but what size shirt does your mom wear? Because lots of teams have very interesting shirts. And I'm sure your mom would love a nice lemons themed shirt.
Depends on what it says.
PG-13 rated. A PG-13 rated.
Probably a large.
There you go. Main topic time and GMP coming up. Most of you are probably listening on the way to NJMP because we know 80% of our listening base is Lemons people, and the show right before and right after the race like skyrockets because you're all in the car going, hey, remember those assholes we hang out at the track this weekend? They had that podcast. Let's listen to it.
And this is a monumental weekend because this is the first time the four of us have actually raced as a team in, I'm going to say, well over 2 years.
We have really the whole crew. No Matt. We're going to miss you, Matt. And Aaron will be there, but not racing. But other than that, it's a long time since we've had pretty much everybody together.
Been a year since we had like four cars.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Amazing how that works. Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Let's go.
So yeah, let's talk about all the things you need to know if you are going to NJP. And for those of you who have been there before, just nod along or tell us we're wrong, but there's actually plenty of new people. Like there's a team that I'm helping out that Eric hooked me up with to tell them how this all works. And amazing, they're still coming. But you know, this is new to them. So hopefully this kind of thing can help those that are new. Two teams
of YouTubers. Don't listen to those idiots. Yeah, they can't even fix their car.
Right? I don't even know what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Chrissy, right. What's your starter?
Now we'll skip that. Move it down.
Skip it? All right. Okay.
All right. Getting in the gate. You get there. Fortunately, there's a long winding road that comes off of the road from the town. You then need to get in line and talk to the people at the window at the house there and sign your waivers. And you go in, and then at the stop sign, you take a left and then an immediate right to head over to Thunderbolt Raceway. Go over the bridge. And when you go over the bridge, you see the paddock spread out before you. And that is actually only half of the paddock. The paddock here is enormous. Mm-hmm. So if you just say, oh, we'll just take a spot on this side, you might be missing a good spot, because the other side, around the other side of the garages, you can probably get a lot closer because people just don't go over there. So, there are garages, you know, as after you come over the bridge, there's like a black lake, and there's the gas pumps on the right-hand side. Then there's a series of garages with hotel rooms above them on the left that are along the pit straight. Mm-hmm. Then sticking out at a 90 degree angle from that perpendicular is the event garages, I'm going to call them. That's where we're going to be. That's where HQ is at the base of that. But that's on both sides of that building. And then if you were to follow that line from where those garages and point all the way to the right, that is where the pro shop is. And that's where the good bathrooms are. And I think there's a snack thing over there too. So, but the pro shop has a lot of stuff. Like they sell ice during the day and they go through a lot of it when we're around. They've got safety gear and they usually end up selling out of belts because everyone forgets New Jersey, which we're going to talk about New Jersey stupid rules later. Give that to Jeff because he's the one that chose to live in that state. Don't forget the other side of the paddock, lots of stuff. That's getting in the gate. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Say hi to Kim. Offer bottled water, beer, or something.
We should mention that this is New Jersey. This is Millville, New Jersey. This is it is the same land that is the racetrack is also the Millville Airport. No, you cannot fly into the Millville Airport. There is no commercial flights. But if you are choosing to fly in, you're probably already chosen either Philadelphia or Atlantic City. If you chose Atlantic City, my apologies. It is a tiny, crappy airport. I just want to say that the town of Millville is very lovely. There are multiple places, flaps, to get your local auto parts. There is a Napa. There is a Zone. There is an Advance. They're all the same distance because they're all basically downtown. Great brew pubs downtown. There's a place that claims to be the best sushi in Millville. I have never eaten there. I can't.
Those are only probably two or three places.
Probably is only one place.
And one of them is a gas station. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, there is a Riggins gas station, which will fill up any crazy gas can you show up with.
I don't know that they always do.
Unless you're a member of the New Jersey law enforcement community, in which case they are ruthless about enforcing the dumb New Jersey gas can rules, which we'll talk about in a minute.
But there are two Wawas. They're also equal distant. There is a Walmart. There is basically anything you need is going to be in that downtown area. You know what's not near the track? Any good hotels. So hopefully you're staying at the track or you know, like in what the rent from the track, because they do rent those little efficiency apartment things. They're probably all rented out. But
or they luxury condos they have too.
Yeah, that too. You might be able to find somebody's floor.
Yeah, or bring a tent. It's going to be nice. It's only going to rain like 50% of the time. There is a lot of stuff out there. You do really kind of got to go to downtown. Downtown is not that far, and it's nice.
Set the tent up on your trailer, because when it rains, there is no drainage in those.
Yeah, there's no, it's all sand.
That's true. It doesn't go anywhere. Good call. I wanted to pipe in real quick that not all parts of Millville are lovely. Mm-mm. There's some parts that are very seedy.
Yeah, you're all just crazy.
We stopped at Little Caesars
and I know sketchy, and no, Jeff is wrong.
Well, we stopped at Little Caesars to get a pizza with the Land Rover towing the Wago van, to give you an idea of timeline. And while we're getting the pizza and we're about ready to go to the track and we're about ready to leave, the officer comes up to us and says, "You guys okay?" Because we were in the sketchy part of Millville in a Land Rover towing a race car. And obviously we did not belong there. So he wanted to make sure we were all right. Yeah.
It's like a 4 on the sketch meter.
Okay. I'm just saying that if, for people that are not from around there, not all of it is beautiful. So you have to go through some places.
To the center of town. Where the Irish pub is,
sure,
which is a good, it's a good Irish pub, and then there's a really neat little wing and pizza place right next to it. Yeah. Yes,
that's a good section of town. Also, I just shout out for Blinker Ice Cream. There's one Blinker in town. You will pass it, and the ice cream joint is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Blinker Ice Cream,
Connecticut.
Nice. Do not, no, don't spill your gas while you stop at Blinker Ice Cream either, and your janky Yukon you can't get out of.
I had to climb out the window. That was not my shaky.
That wasn't that close. That wasn't that close to Blinker Ice Cream.
We went to Blinker
Ice Cream. That was a different time we went to Blinker Ice Cream. Couldn't get out of the truck. And
I took your truck to Blinker Ice Cream.
A couple gallons it spilled in it.
Earlier
in the weekend.
Oh, I deft did that. Yes, yeah, that was. Yeah.
Blinker Ice Cream is a good place to get like a cone of soft serve. It's not like Connecticut where you can get like moose track sundaes and things.
I can't wait.
Anyway. Yep. Else? Power poles, paddock space.
We talked a little bit about that.
Okay. So, well, I'm going to cheat here a little bit because it is.
Or you can defer. You can defer.
I can defer.
Why we know where they are.
No, I brought this up. So I'm going to real quick.
It's sharing. It's sharing.
Yeah, it's probably
going to share the camera. Come on. Mental's desktop. Great.
Okay, great. I'm going to stop sharing again.
What are all those bookmarks that say prawn on it? I don't know what that is.
Vicky was on here earlier. So what we're looking at here is actually, hopefully, a satellite photo
of
the Thunderbolt Raceway. Now, this is very important. If you've never been to New Jersey, there are
a little far away. Can you zoom in?
I plan on doing that, but give me a time here. There are two racetracks. There is Lightning, aka the Dog Course. And then there is the non-Don course, which is Thunderbolt, which is where Lemons is going to be racing. And is
much better.
Much, much better. All right. So I'm going to zoom in on this now that we're looking at it, and hopefully it works. This is actually, it's not a really bad paddock. It's pretty good. You've got a lot of grass, but you see where all the dirt is. And this is where there's going to be no drainage when it rains. This center structure that the mouse is on right now, those are the garages. And if you haven't already rented one, well, it's they're gone. This will also, this first garage closest to the racetrack is where Black Flag Tech and Penalty are all going to be. So that's where you're going to get your inspections done to make sure you double check the email for your times. And go, Chris.
There is, at the end of the building where you're pointing, that's actually not where the garage is. That is the classroom area.
Sorry,
which
right.
is probably, yeah, which is right probably there. Where, you know, things like Gear Tech will be is in that classroom, and get your wristband and things like that. So at the end, at the closest to the pits or pit to the track of the garage building is that classroom.
Jess has never fallen asleep in the classroom at 2 a.m.
It wasn't that one. It was the other track.
No, it was here. I have a picture.
I thought it was at, Thunderbolt or Lightning. There's also bathrooms right there.
Yes. And one of the things they've talked about here at the other end, this is their little snack bar, their gear store. It's actually a very well-stocked safety store. So you can get cool shirts and attachments for your cool shirts and all the little things you forgot and wish you brought with you. But we're specifically going to talk about power pole layout. You're kind of on your own if you're not in the garages.
They're everywhere. The power poles are everywhere at this track.
I rescind my previous statement. There are power poles everywhere.
You have to pay for it at the gatehouse when you get in, and then they will send someone in a Jeep to unlock that, unlock it for you. That's usually how it works.
But you, but
they,
you just buy it. Everywhere. You just say, I'm going to have power. You say, okay. So there's not like power pole 1B. Like there's nothing that you are get until you show up and find your spot.
Yeah, usually you park, you park there, you put your hazards on, and then the guy in the Jeep comes and unlocks it for you.
And it being the country club business model, I'd say they're, I've always had good experience with the employees there. They're always like in a pretty good mood. They're fun. You know, they like their job. So as we zoom in here, you see the extensive paddock. Now this is a huge paddock, but the paddock speed limit is still 10 miles an hour. And one of the most frightening things I ever saw in my life, some guy revved his engine at a toddler, and I watched Steve McDaniel nearly murder him as he told them to put their car on a trailer and never, ever, ever come back again. Right here is typically the entrance onto the racetrack, and that is the end of these condos. There are garages.
I can't see your mouse. I can't see your mouse either.
Oh, never mind. Okay,
you're on the screen you're sharing. It's only about half of the window,
so that's why it's like really hard to see.
So it's really small for us to see.
I'm terribly sorry. I only have with what is that any better?
No, no, not really.
Not better, but you are not currently showing where you get on the track though.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the other side. How about there?
It's all the way down at the end in the Black Lake.
Oh, yes, way down here.
Black
go up. Move your screen up there.
This is a great podcast.
Well, how about this? You get on the track all the way back by the bridge. All the way. Go all the way to the end. To the
like the you're big, leaving the Black track. Lake
that's there. Seriously. That's how you get on the track. All the way to the end. People say, well, I really got to go all the way over there. Yes, you have to go all the way over there. That's where you get on the track. All right.
This is where you can walk through your gas cans.
No.
The hot pits.
It's up by the garages.
No.
Well, there is that entrance here by the tower as well. Yes. But I've seen it there. Okay.
Oh, I couldn't see where your mouse was.
I have failed in my screen shift.
Well, some of it, I think you just haven't, you don't remember. It's been a while. So
it has been a while, and I apologize.
To clarify, to get onto the track, it's at the Black Lake. You get off of the track at the tower, which is about 2/3 of the way along pit road. You take a right at the tower to get into the paddock. The way to get your fuel cans and whatnot into pit lane is at the tower. Essentially, there's a hole in the fence, and that's where they will let you through if you're appropriately geared up. But there nicely is a walkway on the other side of the fence, right below the balconies for all of the guest rooms that are along the pit lane. So you can stand there not too far from your teammates and even hand them things through the fence or over the fence, which is good, or yell at them when they forget things, or be the runner to go get things that they forgot.
And what is nice about having the track exit after the hot pits is like, oh crap, this thing's screwed. I don't have to take another lap. You can actually safely exit and pull into the paddock area.
Can I go back to the paddock area for real quick? I don't know that we have it anywhere else that we're going to be covering it here. So paddock spots are not,
assigned.
They're not assigned except for if you have garages. So if you have garages, you are not supposed to park where the garages across from the garages. That's where people that go ahead. Am I incorrect?
You just said, if you have a garage, you're not supposed to park directly across.
If you have a garage,
that's your spot.
Correct. If you do not have a garage, you are not supposed to park in front of the garages. That's what I meant to say. So save them for other people that even if nobody shows up like right away, somebody might show up.
Not for you.
They probably will because they rented a garage.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Yep. Absolutely.
Because otherwise we're going to come over there until you get the hell out of our space because we have a compound we have to build.
I mean,
it is a traveling circus.
You're not wrong. That's what's going to happen. Okay. Bathrooms. So I already talked about where the bathrooms are. So in the center garages, there are bathrooms, women's is on I don't even know which side is north or south, but it's women's is on one side, men's is on the other side. And then there are also a set of bathrooms where the showers are in the next to the pro shop. You walk in those center doors, not into the pro shop. There's an extra set of doors for where you need to go in. There's big bathrooms and a big set of showers there. I would suggest you stick with those Those are all of them. There might be some porta potties. Sometimes there are. If you are far out, they might have some of them. There are another set of showers and bathrooms in the, we didn't talk about food yet. No, we didn't. But no. There's a lovely pub with all kinds of stuff. Oh, and I think
there's a river, I think, too.
Yes, I'm sure they would. I think there's also a food truck festival happening at the same time. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the same weekend. But there's also at the clubhouse, basically, they have all kinds of stuff going on. There's a pool and they're not open for us, I think, but there are showers over there as well.
Can I say something really quick about the food truck festival?
Yes.
Last year, and I think the year prior, maybe it was your prior, came or it was last year or prior, the Garage Heroes in Training podcast said, this is great. We're going to go to the food truck festival and eat the food trucks. And the lines were an hour long to get like one little piece of nachos. So if you're planning on going to the food truck festival, you might need to bring a snack and a dinner. And
also
be there for many
don't, because I think it's Saturday. So just don't.
Because
I'm having a better party, so there's that.
Yeah, the potluck is going to be so much better, especially in New Jersey.
Off the chain, yo.
Yep.
You want to pimp that now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're doing it Saturday night. It's going to be in Judging Tech, wherever the first set of garages. If you would like to come, please bring enough food for your team. Please do not bring potato salad in a container because we always have way too much. Bring something fun. Do not bring a half-eaten pizza. Do not bring a half-open bag of chips. You can bring some food that you actually care about. Please bring a spoon. Please bring it heated already. That would be really helpful. And yeah, come join us.
Come get your stuff after it's over.
That would be great too. Hey. It's always a difficult issue.
Stick around for the band. We're going to have a band.
Yes, but in order to have a band and a dance floor and all that good stuff, we got to move the food out. So it will be in Judging. It will be 6:30 setup. So show up at 6:30, but do not expect to eat at 6:30 unless you're going to see me flip shit. Then hang around.
Just send one member of your team over with the crock pot. They'll be given a place to plug it in.
Sounds great. No plug-in. No,
you the crock pot because it'll have enough radiant energy.
That's right.
And then that's
back to your paddock and then come back over.
Or hang out outside.
How dangerous it would be with all of those cords and crock pots. And
yeah,
cord.
No. Not even a little bit. But yeah, come join us. There is a sign up sheet. That'd be great. It's on Facebook. We'll put it in here as well. And if you know of something and you think of something, you can sign up for it. If not, just show up and bring the food.
And if you don't do Facebook, it's on the forums as well.
Yes. True. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, Chris, okay. Because it's happened to everyone on this podcast, we've all run out of gas and we probably don't want to do that in a race car. How could we address this situation?
Well, I thought Jeff, as our New Jersey resident, is going to tell us about these particular fueling rules.
I was just going to say how to get into the hot pits before we get into the stupid New Jersey.
We did that already.
That's what I get for
you covered that already. All right. So this is New Jersey. This track is in New Jersey. In case you missed it, it's in the title, New Jersey Motorsports. For some stupid reason, and I know what it is, this is the Soprano State. We pass rules for everything. There is a 49-page document that the state of New Jersey has put together for all of the racing rules and everything in New Jersey, not just New Jersey Motorsports, not just Lemons, but like anything that calls itself racing in the entire state. And the state legislator made all of these rules and they suck. And here are the three that are going to get you in trouble on a Lemons paddock. One, speeding in the pits. The speed limit in every pit at every race anywhere in New Jersey is 5 miles an hour, and the state police can give you a ticket inside your race car for going faster than that. In the opening years at New Jersey Motorsports, it happened frequently, so slow your roll down. Second one that everybody hears about, but not everybody hears about because every year we already mentioned it. Seatbelt rules. Seatbelts are only good for 2 years from their date of manufacture if they are SFI belts because they have a date of manufacture. Lemons rules, what are the Lemons rules? 4 years, right?
5 years.
For some reason, 2 years of December 31st and the state of New Jersey has decided that is no good. They actually give the different rules for SFI and FIA. So hopefully you have FIA belts or brand new, brand spanking new belts.
Yeah, the FIAs are good until their expiration date, no matter what.
Because they are stamped with the expiration date instead of date of manufacturer. And the 49 page document that I'm reading right now only talks about time from date of manufacturer. So eat that, suckers, buy some FIA belts. And the third thing that is going to trip up a lot of people is fueling rules. In the state of New Jersey, you are not allowed to pump your own gas. That counts.
Or make a left turn.
I beeped at someone tonight for trying to make a left turn. So that means that the track pumps have a person standing there who will fuel your hoopty ass race car because you're not allowed to operate a gas pump. So if you go out to Wawa, there's going to be a guy there who's going to want to, I don't mean to genderize, a person there who's going to want to fill your gas tank. Yeah, so don't squeeze your own handle in your own vehicle. The laws are a little sketchier when it is not a vehicle. So some places will interpret that as you're allowed to fuel your own gas cans. Some won't. But that gas can better be properly marked and read, or else go to the place that doesn't pay attention to those rules. Riggins or wherever. Yeah. The fueling rules in New Jersey are kind of that way. Chris, you had your hand up. Did I miss something?
No, you got it. You totally got it. I like these creative solutions people have come up with over the years, wrapping their Hunsickers in red tape.
Yep.
Or painting Hunsickers. You'll see a lot of formerly painted Hunsickers. We filled a 55-gallon drum, which I need to remember to bring, actually, because we have two cars and their RX is going to go through the gas.
Yeah.
So try to remind me, pack the 55-gallon drum. Thank you, Chrissy. Get on the list. The one time we had someone, it said it had to be marked fuel. So someone at the gas station took a Sharpie and wrote fuel on it. And that was adequate. So, yeah.
And do you have a 55-gallon drum?
Yeah, Bill gave me one last year at this race because we said, well, we got the Z and the Mazda. We're going to go through a lot of gas.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. And to that end, if you're not from that area, the very first time I was in New Jersey, I got out of my truck and I was pumping my own gas and a guy walked up and said, you can't do that.
Whoa,
I'm like,
whoa, what are you doing there?
And I'm like, I totally can. I've paid for this. And he's like, no, you're not allowed to. And as tempted as I was to be rude to this person, the folks at New Jersey Motorsports Park, again, these are, I've never had a bad interaction with an NJMP employee, and I've raced here with a couple different organizations, and I've even taught there. Don't be a jerk to the employee because they're having to enforce a state rule. Just don't.
Yep. Okay.
I should mention all Lemons fueling rules are still in existence. Don't fuel inside the buildings. Take your stuff over to the paddock. Have full gear when you go to hot pit. Y'all know those rules.
Yep.
I was just doing some research on the weather, just updating and making sure I knew what was going on. Friday looks lovely. High near 81, be sunny. Make sure you bring suntan lotion. Don't forget that, please. On Saturday, Friday night, it's going to chance showers after 2 a.m. It will be raining on Saturday. It is like 100% chance of rain. It says 80 right now, but
it's mostly going to be in the morning and then it'll get better during the
day. It will not. Right. I just looked at the weather, weather.gov, and I was doing the hour by hour. So it is not getting any better. Saturday night, it'll taper off. Don't know what it says. Chance before 2 a.m. again. So sounds like all day Saturday, not even into the evening. So we could be hopeful, but this is what it says right now. And then Sunday will be sunny and 79. So we'll dry things out before we're on our way home.
Fantastic.
Let's hope it's different.
Yep. Great. So that means it's time for a track walk, right?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Chris, we're going to let you share this one.
I got the track map right here. Thank you, Russ Bentley. His track maps are nice and clean and simple. Okay, so you're going down the straight. Well, first off, you're getting onto the track. You've come in all the way down to Black Lake. You go all the way down the pit lane. You see Cannerdale. They check you, make sure you're good. And you're going to come in and your blend line is between turns one and two. And people are going to be coming through turn one. There's usually room right there, but watch out because people are going to be trying to apex two, which is right in front of you. So be careful at the blend line there. All right, back to the straight. You're on the straight. It's a long straight. There's a lot of room. It's a normal straight. Turn one is a deceptive looking corner. It looks tighter than it is. And you can't really see through it. And part of this is because the camber is a little bit off. There's also a really big curb on the inside of turn one. I do suggest you do not hit that because it will upset the car pretty well. There's also a lot of evidence of people going off at the end of turn one because they're not looking through the corner well, and they can't see that it's almost a 90 degree corner and end up pushing wide and going off there. So watch out on turn one, but it is, if you're looking through it, you can go faster than you think a lot of times, but late apex. Turn two, this is the crest of a hill. You cannot see anything on the other side of that hill. So look at the flag station that's on your left as you come up to turn two. Now, it is important to get some of your turning done early here so that as you crest the hill and the car will float wide, that you stay on the track. There is an extra wide curbing on the outside of two, but it is not a particularly friendly curbing. It is rough. So you've got it there. You don't really want to be on it though, because there's some places in this track that have friendly curbs that you want to touch. Other ones you don't. This isn't really one you want to. It's not the worst, but it's not great.
It's also not necessary.
No, it's not. It just gets some of your turning
there.
You're turning up to the hill and you'll be fine. Right. So three, we are not taking the normal three. We are running the chicane in three. At least historically, we always run the chicane. I'm going to assume that we are going to do that again.
Yeah.
Right. I've run without the chicane at NASA and it's notably faster, which is probably why they have us run the chicane. So the chicane, it's a right, left, right, going back onto a little back straight there. It does get pretty tight there. And it happens, a lot of people come down the hill out of two, come into the start of the chicane of three and lift and end up getting loose in that first right-hand corner, especially where the pavement transitions. So watch out for that. Try to get your braking kind of done in a straight line as you're going into it. Then you can set yourself up. The slowest part is the left-hand turn, because really none of the entry doesn't really matter. The middle definitely doesn't matter, but the exit matters a lot because that's going into the straight between three and four, where you're going to be on the gas for quite a while. Also, if it rains and it's supposed to, there is a gully in between on that straight between three and four that has very poor drainage. This becomes a wake zone. Like this is sitting in the front row at SeaWorld. Like you're going to get splashed.
I don't think this one is as bad as the one between five and six.
Really? This is the one that you have to watch out. You're going to get a wave in the window.
No, that one is, because you go down a little bit and then you go up. It's definitely right here.
Five and six there is pretty straight. It's definitely.
Oh, no, never mind. You're right. It's the one between three and four. Sorry. Yes. I was in the wrong spot in my brain. I was reading ahead in the notes and not paying attention.
Oh,
I apologize.
No, don't do that. So if it's raining enough, be careful. And you would see after a while, you'd start to see people time their proceeding through the river on the straight there to not be timed to have someone else's wake go right into their window.
Deluge into the window.
Seriously, it was amazing. All right. So turn four it's a right-hander. It is about 45 degrees. It is another deceptive looking corner in that I feel like most of the time I go through four, I say, you know, I could have done that faster. So brake a little later than you think and settle the car back in as you go through it. And you can keep it a nice high speed corner and track all the way out. I usually just don't go through it fast enough. This is a good place to pass is on the inside of four for all the people who are way over braking for it. But also watch out for the dive bombers who are coming into there and have no idea what they're going to do when they get there and can't make it through the corner. So it's a double-edged sword of four.
Mention that shift points between three and four on some cars can be a little confusing. Some people are going to run out of gear there. Some people aren't. You're going to have to experiment to figure out what works best with your car.
Yep. And then you might want to just leave it in the higher gear through four, because you don't really have time to shift again between four and five. All you're doing between four and five is gathering the car up for four and prepping for five. This is a common traffic point because it's a very tight left-hand corner. It's a 120 degrees. Because it's so slow, everyone binds up, usually end up with two lanes going through the corner here. So pick your lane carefully. And then it ends up kind of widening to three lanes on the way out. Mental.
And I say this every time, and it has been a while since I've been there, but I have found historically, especially when it starts raining, this is one of the slippiest places on the track. I have a theory. It's because where everyone money shifts and downshifts and blows up their transmission and engines there. But especially when it first starts raining, this whole corner is very, very slick.
Yeah. And it's the slowest part of the track. So treat it as such.
Your rear end will step out on you. If you got some power, if you're on the outside of a car that's got some power, just be wary. They might snap out into you. Just
a lot of people end up in the always, outside of
so it's going to be a Camaro that can't handle it. They're so exuberant. They're just stepping on the gas everywhere. The outside curbing on the way out of five is actually pretty friendly. It's got a little, it bumps up a bit. So if you're pushing wide, it will kind of catch you and it's not tragic to get onto, but I wouldn't advise doing it every time because it is a bit of a bump, but it has saved me at least once. So that's good. Five and six is a,
I was going to say at the exit of five, because people do power out there, it can get kind of muddy and dirty. Mm.
There can I think there's a ditch there too. Watch out for the ditch at the end of the curving. Yeah.
Yeah. The Miata line.
Yep. All right. Straight between five and six is actually longer than you think. Usually ends up being a shift there. You got to watch out because you do have to usually slow for six, unless you have a pretty slow car. Like 1.6 Miatas don't have to, but most other people do. The six is about a 90 degree corner and take it like a flat 90 degree corner. There you go. Deal with the traffic. Seven is I started to think of this as the condo corners, eight into nine. So you're coming down the straight after six. This is enough room there to kind of get your car settled, get kind of traffic out of the way and figure out which lane you're going to be in, inside or outside. There's a lot of passing happens here too. So get ready for that. Seven is a right 90 degree corner. Nothing particularly special about it, but somehow a lot of people end up pushing really wide after seven. There is a big ditch on the outside of the curbing at the outside of seven. So
this will also get covered in mud. Yeah. Covered in mud.
Yeah.
As people return to track.
And I think a lot of people just aren't looking all the way through the corner after that. So they're not seeing, their eyes aren't up and they're pushing wide and going off. So you can avoid that. Eight is kind of a eight is just the whole track just keeps going right. Like you take a right at seven and you just kind of keep going right, even though you're full throttle and you're shifting and there's room there. And then all of a sudden, if you're not used to it, the track just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. Oh no. And you're off the track because it is a very significant decreasing radius at nine. So out of seven, I like to track most of the way out and kind of get back in toward eight and kind of gradually tighten my lineup, tighten up until I get into nine. Yes, Mental.
And the problem I usually have here, and if you've got a solution, awesome, is because you're out there, it's flat and it's a continuing thing. There's not a lot of visual references for you to start looking, oh God, it's going to tighten up right here. You kind of just going to have to find your own little
big
bookmarks.
Field, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big grassy flat area. And if it's raining, you will pick up speed once you hit that grass. But I've found that it's very difficult to find a visual reference off the track.
Yeah. It's so many people go off at nine, just be careful. Cause then they don't come back on very well. So like I said, after seven, I kind of stay out wide through eight and then gradually tuck into nine. So my apex is kind of most of the way through nine, really, because I'm trying to set up 10 for a good run out of 10, because 10 is 180 degree left or more.
I just want to mention, with all the talk of nine, people call nine lots of things, devil's tail, octopus tentacle, blah, blah, blah. So lots of people will talk about this, but I don't think it's that tricky. You just have to know what you're doing.
Yeah. You just have to know it's going to tighten up. You have to slow down. It's not this constant radius corner you kind of seem like you're in, and all of a sudden it tightens right up. So after nine, there always ends up being in the Lemons race kind of two lanes through 10. You have to decide, am I going to be able to make it on the inside lane or am I going to go around the outside? I think if there's no one around, I like going in the inside, especially because here's a top tip. Hook your left front wheel on the curb, but you only not over the curb because there's a big ditch on the inside. If you are on the curb though, it hangs onto the car. It is amazing how much extra traction it will give you just getting that left front wheel on that curb as you work your way all the way around that 180 degree corner. But usually there's traffic in the way and you can, and you, if your car handles well, you can pass a surprising number of people around the outside. All right. There's a lot of hands going up. Who wants to go first?
Well, there's a different, the asphalt is different. There's a yes. strip, around the, like right where there's kind of like a little ditch right between the curbing and the patch of, and this, it's this, it's, I, unless it's been changed since last year, but I don't think it has. I was just wondering, we don't know if that patch is going to be more slippy in the rain or not.
No, because we'll talk about the rain as soon as we finish the normal lap. I'll tell sure. you in general how to do the rain of this track.
Yeah. Can I just say, right. by the apex of 10 or the middle of 10 or early in 10, your 1.6 liter Miatas and your Colt Vistas and anything that's underpowered, you should already be flattening your gas pedal for the straight.
Totally. Yep. And then you've got a series of S's, 11A, 11B, that if you take them well, if there's no one around, you can straighten that out really quite nicely. Yep. But you can also do some passes there too, or people that got 10 wrong, you got to make sure you're in the right lane to get around them, and you know that that they are being conscious of traffic around them and not trying to straighten the road out. And
yeah, 11A and 11B are great passing locations. I pass a lot of cars.
So if you're a slower car there, watch out your mirrors and stay to one side or the other. Let the other cars by, especially as you're coming up to the straight. But also, this is a tough spot to get. This is where you go into the pits. And if you are in the inside lane of 10, you might really struggle to get to the right-hand side to get into the pits at 11B. So if you know you're going to be pitting that lap, if you can, coming into 9, take the right-hand lane around 10. And 11, so that you are ready to pit and get that fist up early to, so people know, and that'll give them a little clue to, you know, potentially let you
watch out for others that you just don't, if you're like, why are you going slow? Are you like, you have to play, sometimes you have to play guessing game there, especially if there's traffic or there's other people around, you're saying, are you just slow or are you trying to get off track here? I've been stuck in the wrong lane before to try to get off there. Right. Absolutely. So you're like, I'm planning on going that way. And you're like, I am not going to make it. Like I'm trying to get over there. And it's sometimes it's difficult.
You got, if you're going, if you know you're pitting, get over there at 9 and stay on that outside part. Oh, that'll get you all the way through. And otherwise, like, watch out for that Camaro that's in the left-hand lane coming
barreling
up there.
Down. Say,
or no, that's going real slow. You're like, what is this guy doing? Because he's about to yank his wheels to the right to try to make the pits. So
We should mention there's a go under a bridge here.
It's just about to. Okay, this is where you go into the bridge onto the straight. As you come up to the bridge, though, this is 12 right on the other side of the bridge. And 12 has a very wide curb, like huge. It is also a very friendly curb. I suggest you put most of the car over that curb, leaving only your left side tires on the blacktop. You straighten it out so much and you can carry so much more speed through there. And it's a fine, friendly curb. It's no problem.
Raise your hand if you pass someone who clipped the apex and you are just fully on the curbing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Watch out.
The hombres and the boats of the world that have a little bit more compliant suspension can pretty much just take that thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is not a good thing to admit to Chris because he doesn't usually like curbing.
Well, because then I have to fix things. But
if he's telling you,
the world doesn't matter.
Telling the ombre, this is good curbing. Nothing.
This is good curbing. This is fine stuff. This
actually
is
in the boat, I would argue it was almost essential because you can get 12 wrong and be fine on the straightaway because it's such a long straightaway. But if you get it right,
usually I stayed just inside the tracks, you know, just enough that the FIA wouldn't make me give up on the pass.
Yep.
Good. Which the FIA has done. The FIA has made Jeff give up 7 passes in his career. It's obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. Michael, what are you black doing and white to me, flag. Michael?
Yep. So that's the track. So, now let's talk about in the wet because it's going to rain. This track in general is the classic rain line, which is the opposite of the classic dry line. So on a classic dry line, you say you have a right-hand corner. You're going to stay to the left as you're coming into the corner. You're going to move. So that's outside. You're going to turn to the right to apex the corner. That's inside. And then track back out to the left as you exit outside. So you've probably heard outside, inside, outside. The rain line is exactly the opposite because the areas that are not driven on regularly in the dry are not polished. And therefore, they drain better and you're going to have better traction in the aggregate. So, for example, like coming into 6 on the track. In the wet, you stay to the right. And you can then, you've got better traction there to brake. But then you're going to cross the dry line and you're going to lose your traction. But you're going to get it right back as soon as you're on the other side of the dry line. Then you're going to have slowed more than you're used to. You're going to make a sharper turn than you're used to on the area that you wouldn't be in the dry, and then accelerate back out, cross the dry line again, and stay to the right after 6. And it feels very strange to do, but especially when you're crossing that dry line, you'll feel the traction change, but know that it's going to be there on the other side. And it works quite well to do that on a lot of these corners. So just feel it out.
My memory is that there is not a really good rain line 789. 789 is kind of the rain line is where the idiots aren't.
Yeah, like,
I never felt there was a grippy part of that.
Yeah, well, 7, I'd like to be on the inside for braking in the rain because I think it is less worn down than the outside.
Yeah. I mean coming out of 7 through 8, 9.
Oh, yeah. I stay to the inside on the way out. And then where the rest of it's just, wherever the idiots are not, pretty much.
This is where I got hit during a yellow flag. Somebody brushed straight up against me. I was like,
if I'm not mistaken, 7 is where the first dent ever in the 3 was
created. Yep, it is. But
you see a white Mazda 3, don't touch it. Just don't touch it.
Yep. All right, I think that's about it. Anything else?
Just mentioned that 11A, 11B, if you have a V8 powered Nissan 300Z in the rain, take your time. Do not put the pedal down unless you're sure.
And you're not sure. Because if you're putting your pedal down, you have miscalculated.
You're miscalculated.
Yep.
Chris, are you going to be available for the infamous 3 Pedal Mafia track walk Friday night?
I probably would be, but New Jersey doesn't ever let us do it. So
we're not allowed.
Part of those New Jersey rules.
They lock the gates and the track all around it too. They're serious.
Oh God. That's how long it's been since I've been in New Jersey. I remember doing one of these with you. Mm.
It's been a while.
Maybe let us out once. But yeah.
We might have gotten out. Okay. I mean, no, we didn't hop a fence. I'm just saying, like, we just... Yes.
If they let us go, then sure.
Yeah.
In fact, God, this is how long ago it was. That was the spider staying with Garage Heroes.
Or then they had the one time that they said, oh, yeah, you guys have half an hour to do a track rack because we have motorcycles coming to ride on the track later. Just a bunch of Harleys that rode around one lap, going 10 miles an hour, just revving the piss out of their terrible motorcycles, and then that's why we couldn't do it because some Harley guys had to go bah, 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 bah.
Okay.
All right, so the links to all of this will be in the show notes, the Ross Bentley, the Fast Laps Thunderbolt Raceway. If we're not mad wrenching, feel free to come by and ask us a question.
Absolutely. If you're a YouTuber and you want to like put us on your channel and say how to cross promote, come on over.
Jeff.
I'll pimp.
I'll point you at Jeff.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about a good moment you're going to get out of me.
Hey, New Jersey's fun. I love New Jersey. It's
a great facility. It's hampered by some over legislation, but it's a great facility.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else to say?
Yes, I have a quick note. Last year, because my hair is very long, I look very different. I made a video on our favorite pancake recipe. So check it out. It's on YouTube, and we'll link it in the show notes in case you're interested in a fantastic pancake recipe that you can bring with you to the track and drop it on your hot grill.
Boom.
What was that? What was this?
That's me pointing to where we'll put the link.
Oh, got it. Cool. Thanks.
If I'm in the top corner, I don't know if I'm in the top corner or not on mental speeds. No, I am on my feed.
Better than Bisquick.
Alrighty then, what's the next final section of the day?
Wow.
I don't even know what this acronym is.
I don't know what it is. So
we did one of these some time ago, and it's the DDTS, which is dude, don't do that shit.
Oh, okay. And I was like, it's not goat. It's not just a tip.
No. Right. This was doing the research for the news and notes. I poke around to a lot of the automotive websites, and this is on Car and Driver recently. And we'll have, of course, that link in our show notes. And it was a survey of delivery drivers from a delivery driver website. Just a couple of things. A large majority of them have admitted to eating some of your food. A large majority of them have had to pee in a bottle or on the side of your house. And Pornhub be damned, a surprising percentage of them have actually hooked up with customers. But one of the nastiest things that I saw on there is a trend that is called tip baiting, which is when folks order their food and then they promise a huge tip because that helps the driver prioritize deliveries. And then after the fact, reduce the amount of that tip. Now, most people on this screen, and I would venture to guess that 80% of our listeners have done some sort of service-oriented job where part of your income, if not all of your income, depended on tips. And I would also argue that 80 to 90% of our listeners would never actually do this stuff. So really, it's just about you telling your friends to quit doing stupid crap. So if you're going to commit to a tip, then commit to a tip. If you're worried that the driver's not going to give there, then just give them the 15% and then upgrade it to 20%. Instacart actually did notice that in 95% of the tip changing after the delivery was almost always done in favor of the driver. But this is what's happening. Right. But for food delivery, DoorDash, and some of those other services, folks are promising a 20 or better percent tip. And then after they get their food, drop it 5%. Which is just a jerk move. I don't think any of our listeners would do something that shady. Or if they did, it's because they handed the driver cash and, you know, the IRS don't need to know how much you made in a tip. And I'm down with all that. But if you catch any of your friends doing that stuff, just seriously whack them upside the head because too many people have worked way too hard. It's not like anyone's getting rich on a delivery service. So, dude, don't do that shit.
I love this. I read it. I read the article. I was reading it while Chris was doing the track walk, which is why I got lost. I can't believe any dirtbags out there put in the notes, I'm going to give you a 20% tip or preload a 20% tip and then change it afterwards. You're a dirtbag. Don't be a douche. Be a dude. Don't do it.
There it is.
Yep.
I don't use these things. Do you, Chrissy, do you use them?
What?
The delivery services, DoorDash.
Nope. Yeah, the only time we ever did it was when we were together and had no way to to get get food to our house. So no, we do not.
I'll pre-order my coffee, but I tip in cash, so I don't do that kind of stuff. But I do that on pickup, and so I'll do online orders, but I always again in cash because as someone who works for the government don't need to know how much you take in home, kind of a deal. But for Amazon and all that kind of stuff, I do. And I always give them, if it gets to my house, you're getting a 5-star from me on Amazon.
Your expectations are so low.
Exactly. I understand how hard they're working. I get it.
All right. Next show.
Next show.
We'll be talking about.
What are we going to talk about?
Everything that happened this weekend. We are excited. Hopefully it'll be all good news. Everything will come home the same way we brought it to the track. And we'll tell you about it.
We need to do an over under on the magic spinning triangles.
Oh.
It's either going to do I'll take
the over under
one. I don't know.
I say it's going to last all day Saturday, and fail on Sunday.
Fail on Sunday. Oh. Mental has set the over under. Tell us. Hit us up on the Facebooks or any of the social media. Tell us whether you think Mental is crazy. Will the magic spinning triangles last a whole day or not?
I'm called Mental. I mean, I am crazy. Also, follow all of our social medias because Jeff and I are together, which means all kinds of obnoxious crap. Yeah. Woohoo!
Check out that TikTok. It's going to be rolling all weekend. And thank you for downloading us. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Everyone Racers. We also hope you'll join us in the world of driving, racing, and building, because everyone can be a racer, even you. If you enjoyed this podcast, come over to the race, say hi, get a sticker or something. I don't know. It's totally free. Then go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. If you hated us, you're a douche, whatever. If you have any questions or show ideas, drop a comment on our Facebook page, Everyone Racers. Email us at everyone.racers@gmail.com. You can still text Mental, 484-243-0455. Find us on Instagram or Twitter, everyone.racers. We got TikTok, we got everything, YouTube, Facebook, Reddit is /E1R. Thanks again, and until next week, keep the shiny side up. Unless it's raining so hard at New Jersey Motorsports that the whole thing is shiny, then just keep those wheels down.